Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Quarter number four. It's Matt Smith sitting in for Brandon Stokely, and we want you to be a part of the conversation. RamosLaw.com text line's always open, 303-713-1043, and the Twitch feed rolling, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. I see Big Champ over there as well. Hit us up there. Same rules as the text line. And we were talking about Bo Nix. We were talking about the comment made from Colin Cowherd about Bo Nix being a fit here in Denver. And something that Colin said made my ears perk up a little bit. He said, draw it up and Bo will execute it. That's what he was able to do at Oregon. And that's what led to some success there as a Duck. And I thought to myself, okay, that's an interesting conversation. In college, it's, yeah, you cater to the roster, you drop your system, and you say, hey, you got to figure this out. In the NFL, Matt, I think that pendulum's swinging a bit, right? It's not, this is my system, figure it out, or sit on the bench. At least for the most part, you cater to the roster a bit. We had that talk about Sean Payton. Can he do that? Can he change? Can he be flexible and change what he wants to do and find some sort of combo of what I want to do, but what my roster can do the right way? So is it a player's job to be more flexible, a coach's job to be more flexible as to what the game plan and execution is? Meet somewhere in the middle is obviously the ideal answer, but how often is that the situation? What do you see more out of the Broncos situation? Does Sean have to be more flexible if it is a guy like Bo Nix? Or does Bo Nix have to come in here and go, all right, just like I did at Oregon, Sean draws it up, I execute?
Yeah, Bo isn't coming in here and calling the shots, if that's what you're saying.
No, but you know what I'm saying of what's better for the team in the long play? Is it Sean being flexible or is it, you know, Bo Nix, Jared Stidham, whoever the heck the quarterback may be, going, I got to learn this. I have to dive headfirst into this, and it has to be my entire world before July 28th comes.
It is a coach's responsibility to put their players in the best position to succeed, how they see fit, right? So, yes, you want to adapt what you do to your player's strengths and your player's weaknesses. You don't want to make them do those things. However, if it's a weakness that needs to be turned into a strength, Josh, then yeah, we're going to work on that. But a rookie quarterback is coming in here to run Sean's system. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's Nix, Williams, May, Daniels, or McCarthy. All those dudes are going to play within the rules and the scheme that Sean has laid forward. Now, depending upon which one of those guys you take, well, this guy can do this a little bit better than the other and so on and so forth. And so you change your plan and you adapt. But it doesn't mean that you're just going to make anybody work. That's, as Cecil loves to say, the NFL's dirty little secret is fit. And as I always tell Cecil, that's every sport. In the NBA, too, fit is extremely important with system and with coach. So it's on the Broncos to identify somebody that can fit within their system. Does that answer the question?
That does. It does. And it's, again, it's, I really love what you said earlier, Matt, about the fifth quarterback. Like, if Sean believes and fully believes in his heart of hearts that I can make Bo work, all right, great. That's a great pick at 12. But if you're going, man, I thought it was JJ that I could really make work with my system, and it looks like he's now out of reach for us. But there's a couple of things in Bo Nix that I see that could possibly work as well. That's when I get nervous.
Guess what?
What?
That's not a good enough reason to take him at 12.
Even though he plays quarterback.
Desperado. where are we at here? Okay. I saw someone earlier on the text line, 303-713-1043, say, hey, look, I don't care if it's QB 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. You take the guy because you got to find the bleeping guy. Okay, that's fine. But if you know at the end of year one that he's not the guy, are you going to be afraid to do it again the next year if you're in position to grab somebody else in the next class that wasn't the fifth quarterback taken off the board?
So you're talking about Josh Rosen to the Cardinals, and then the next year they took Kyler Murray because Josh stunk.
you've got to be able to turn and burn. And if Colin Cowherd, and what Colin Cowherd said was, Sean's got to win now, it's a rookie quarterback, and it's quarterback five. You give him a good chance to do that, Josh, with rookie quarterback number five? I don't care what he thinks he can do with quarterbacks. He told us at the combine. Had to censor what I was about to say. The point is this. It's going to take a little bit of time, no matter who it is, unless you just somehow get extremely lucky. But based upon everything I've seen, I don't see that being a likely scenario.
Broncos country, what do you make of it? Sean going to be flexible? Or does Bo Nix have to come in here and learn everything immediately if it is Bo Nix that gets selected with the number 12 overall pick?
Real quick. I love that. Cowherd talking about he wants a quarterback with experience. Bo Nix has started 61 games. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a reason Bo Nix has started 61 games. Maybe there's a reason that after last year he wasn't talented enough or at least thought of highly enough to come out of the draft.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to tell you about Malcolm Roach.
Talk to me.
Defensive lineman, come over from New Orleans. Looked at as a big-time run stopper, can fill up the gaps on defense, take a couple of blockers on because he's a giant of a man. And he's been playing varsity football, Matt, since the fourth grade.
High school varsity football?
High school varsity football. He started in the fourth grade.
What?
Shout out to Chris Thomason, who wrote about it over at the Gazette. Didn't get to start. But played real snaps.
He didn't start as a fourth grader.
As a fourth grader, in which he was 5'4" in the fourth grade.
That's been a bowling ball.
I didn't know what the average size of fourth graders were, but it's not 5'4", as I learned via the Google machine. So here's what happened. His dad was the coach at a private school.
Mm.
That private school was K through 12. And so you have sports, right?
Sure.
So in the fourth grade, when he stood at 5'4", he was as big as the other kids, and his dad, this is his dad's words here, quote, kind of a little chubby kid, mm-hmm. end quote, but could hold his own on the field. So we would let him go out on kickoffs, put him in at the linebacker position when we know that they were going to throw the football. He made a few plays and accumulated a few tackles.
You want to talk about
Malcolm Roach was playing varsity football in the fourth grade.
Talk about being born on third base, right? I mean, come on. Your dad is putting you in non-passing or non-running situations. Yeah, we're going to put him on the field in fourth grade in a high school varsity game. Well, they were probably playing like nobody.
Sure.
I mean, where is he from? Is he from Texas, too? Because I know he went to school at UT Austin.
Yeah, Southern University. I don't know.
Oh, Southern. That's Mississippi?
Baton Rouge,
Louisiana.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana. There you go.
Yeah.
How did you know that?
Because, HBCU, you know.
Oh, okay.
I'm also, I have random sports.
You have this info.
Look, that's an interesting backstory for sure. I mean, last year, PFF, Pro Football Focus, at one point, early November, had Malcolm Roach graded out as one of the best run-stuffing interior defensive linemen. And the Broncos, for the most part, last season allowed running backs 5.5 yards per clip.
Wow.
So if you're giving off runs at that rate, you find a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully Roach comes in with a bucket and start plugging some of these holes, especially in that defensive line. Because if the Broncos want to be competitive, I mean, let's be real. You got to find, and even still, you got to find a way not to get gashed in the running game.
Yeah.
Gashed. I mean, that's what happened in Miami. We can go down the list. Buffalo, I thought, even though they turned over the ball a little bit, Buffalo was running on them, right? You've got to be able to shore that up. And certainly we know what the Raiders have done to the Broncos on the ground for 8 straight times now.
Well, thank goodness Josh Jacobs doesn't play for them anymore. But
didn't matter the last time.
Well, you're right.
That was Zamir White, yeah.
Yeah, Jacobs didn't even play in the last game, right?
I know.
So Malcolm Roach, shout out to you having more varsity football snaps by the end of your fourth grade year than I've had in my entire life.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
You ever got some varsity football snaps under your belt?
No, never played varsity football. Never played high school football.
I didn't either.
Nope. Would have liked it, but yeah. Medical thing. Just, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Coach holding you back?
Yeah. I was a coach. He was just like, you'd be too good. And I was like, I know.
You're like, I'm going to go home right
after. I don't
want to
make the
drafts.
Other kids jealous.
Yeah, exactly. So, Malcolm Roach, shout out. Big fella playing varsity football in the fourth grade. We were kind of chatting about it during the break, and I've seen a few texts, but the Players' Championship, into any of that, Wyndham Clark, Denver's own, man, in control, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, loses a little bit and then just has that putt lip out that could have forced a playoff in the Players' Championship.
I actually called the 2017 Pac-12 Men's Golf Championships where Wyndham Clark won it as senior. Yeah, at Oregon. So
awesome,
that was one of my favorite things I've ever done. I love golf. So for me, that was a real treat. But Scottie Scheffler right now has gotten to a level that's pretty scary. I mean, I was looking at Masters odds the other day. He's 5-1 to win the Masters already.
Damn.
That's like getting to prime Tiger range when you look over the rest of the field. I didn't watch a ton of the players this weekend. I followed it because there was so much hoops and, you know, hockey and how many more sports. I mean, I love golf, but I wasn't sitting there watching 7 hours of the players. I did hear it was a fantastic finish, though. The one thing I knew for sure was on Saturday, Xander Schauffele was, I think, leading it. Mm-hmm. You knew he wasn't going to close because he can't close. So it wasn't a surprise to see Scheffler come in and take it again. He's been doing nothing but winning lately. Mm-hmm. You knew it when you saw him, when he came off of being an amateur. I think he had the record in Texas for like most amateur golf, junior golf events. He won like 70 events in junior golf, Scottie Scheffler.
Damn.
Oh, yeah, he's like a prodigy in the making. And then you watch him on the tee box, the way he moves his back foot, and you're just like, Scott, how is this guy world number one looking like a goof? But he does, and all he does is win, so... Good for Scott.
Yeah, he got the win yesterday, back-to-back at the Players for the first time ever. But, yeah, it's nice to have Wyndham Clark as, like, he's the next, you know what I mean? I don't know what he's going to turn into, but he's certainly done a lot for himself is to be in the conversation of, like, the next wave of potential golf superstar, and he reps Denver.
Are you at the age where you've had to have your oil checked yet?
It's coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's like playing around at a Pete Dye golf course. So good for Scheffler because he's managed to solve it.
You hate that guy and his golf courses. He used the whole break to rip on him as Drew tried to defend him during the commercial.
Target golf. It's for the birds. Let the big dog out and let him roam.
All right, college basketball is going to take over this week starting tomorrow night. The Rams and Buffs will take center stage. We'll talk about their chances of getting in the real dance coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
It's 1:17 on a Monday. We are with you till 2 o'clock. Zach Bye, Philip Lindsay will come in here after and get you home this afternoon from 2 to 6. You want to join Matt and I? Matt Smith is sitting in for Stoke. RamosLaw.com text line's open, 303-713-1043. We're turning our attention to the NCAA bracket. It is out. It is available for you to go start filling it out. How many are you going to fill out? Well, let me tell you about the most important one is at denversports.com/hoops. You got to sign up for the Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. You heard me right. 5K on the line. Bragging rights? Yeah, that's nice. But 5K to spend on a vacation, some homework. I don't know. Maybe just throw in the bank account. Wait for something to pop up. That's what's on the line at denversports.com. Go there, sign up, denversports.com/hoops. You'll see the banner at the top of the page, and you could be taking home 5K if your bracket does not get busted. Shout out to Sport Clips for being partners with us on this. You got to do it before March 21st when the games actually get going, but go sign up, have a shot at 5K. We were talking about the Buffs. We were talking about the Rams. They're each going to play on Tuesday and Wednesday night. Rams will take on Virginia. The Buffaloes will take on Boise State, and both battling for a number 10 seed. Matt, we talked about who has better chances to win. The other side of that coin.
Who has a better chance to lose?
No. Who's more disappointing if they lose? With what CU did at the end of the year, what'd you say? They won eight of nine. Eight in a row until they faced Oregon in the Pac-12 championship. And what the Rams were prior to the latter part of the season, all the way up at a 13 ranking early in the year. They had huge expectations early, fell off, and the Buffs are kind of the opposite.
That's a good question, because I could make arguments for both sides.
Sure.
So let me do that. I'll just, instead of telling you who, because I don't know if there's a clear cut, I'll just make my arguments for both sides. Let's start with CSU. It would be more disappointing if CU loses than it would be if CU loses. Did I say CU twice? I might have. It would have been more disappointing if the Rams lose than the Buffs lose, because when's the next time the Rams are going to be this competitive? I know Nico Medved signed the extension to stay on, okay? Mm-hmm. That was a roll of the dice. you are judged based upon your record and the talent that you have. He rolled the dice after David Roddy left to come back for one more year with Isaiah Stevens. If I were Nico Medved and a good offer came across my desk, which I'm going to guarantee you that one will come across his desk this year, I'd be really tempted to take it. What is the ceiling for that program, and has he not already hit it? Kind of feels like maybe this might be the last hurrah with Nico. It's the last hurrah with Isaiah Stevens, who's arguably the best program in your player's history. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it'd probably be disappointing if you didn't even make it to the round of 64. All right, that's good argument
yeah,
there.
Yeah, okay. I hear you. Right.
For the bus.
I hear you.
You've got a potential top five pick on your team. You've got KJ Simpson, who more than likely should have been the Pac-12 player of the year. Tristan Da Silva is an above-average all-Pac-12 level forward. And you're going to the Big 12 next year. Getting back to the tournament in the Big 12 is going to be a Herculean task.
That's a great point, dude.
For the Buffs, mm-hmm. Okay? This might be the last time we see the Buffs dancing for a little while. I was watching the Big 12 conference tournament over the weekend and at the end of last week. Cincinnati was a 10 seed, and I think their record was like 24-10.
Damn.
Okay? You got to be really darn good to finish in the top half of the Big 12, and that, in my opinion, is going to be a challenge for CU making that transition as a program. It's a much more physical conference. You've got to have legit dudes who are killers, and I would say right now CU really has one. You're going to need more than that to finish in the top half of the Big 12. Especially because KJ's probably gone after this year. We know Cody's gone. Da Silva's gone. Now you're starting back over. Are you going to get in the transfer portal? You see, I could make arguments for both sides going, you might not see both schools back in the NCAA tournament for a little while, unfortunately.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from on that. And the Big 12, that's a great point that I hadn't even started to kick that around yet because I'm still stuck in what they're doing with the Pac-12. But that's that might be the best basketball conference across the land, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a tough go. And I've said that about Nico for a long time. But year six, I think it is, under Nico. And then you mentioned the extension, and they had two of the 6 years getting into the tournament. But
if I were him, I would dipsy-doodle. I just would.
I mean, look, isn't that the way of the world? Don't you want to always get a bigger and better job? And as nice as it is up there in Fort Collins with the Rams, like, it's the Mountain West. There's bigger and better opportunities out there for a guy like Nico Medved.
You roll the dice again, you're bad for a couple of years. Well, now maybe you're not getting looked at for some of the top jobs in the country. It just depends upon what his priorities are for himself and for his family.
Like, if the Rams are bad, you're saying?
Yes, yeah, the Rams are bad, he will be directly responsible for it and probably looked upon differently than he's looked upon right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's regarded right now as one of the better coaches in the country. I heard, wasn't Syracuse on the table? There was a big school on the table for him that he turned down to go back to CSU, unless for some reason he thinks he's going to be able to build a legit team these next few years. If I were him, I'd think about it really hard. I thought he should have left after last year, personally. Now, I'd love to see him at CSU. I love that CSU basketball is succeeding lately, because anytime they're not playing for the Buffs, I'm rooting for the Rams. Right. I am rooting.
Me too.
I go up there to Fort Collins to watch a game from time to time. I'm close up there. It's a fun environment up in Moby. I want to see that thing roll on. But for him personally, that's different than the priorities of the program.
Can I ask you something, like, you know, about the Buffs?
No.
How come? I'm going to ask you anyway.
Okay.
How come three guys have face masks and they're all different?
It's just two.
I thought it was three.
Just two. Javon Hadley and Cody Williams.
Okay. Yeah. Well, why are they different? Javon has the full thing. Cody has like if he's Robin and wears just that little
Robin
face mask thing. What's going on there?
They both took elbows to the face, and I think Javon Hadley's was like a full break. I'm not exactly sure, though.
Okay.
So, well, yeah. It is a little bit obnoxious, though. I do wonder if it's affecting Cody Williams.
It looks weird.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, he's played the back half of the season with the mask on.
Just like peripheral, he can't see.
For me, I feel like it would probably affect me as a basketball player.
And I feel like that's not protecting anything.
Yeah, if you took a good shot, maybe like a direct shot right to the schnoz, maybe that protects you from it, but I don't know. I couldn't begin to tell you.
It's just weird to me. Every time I see him on the floor at the same time, I'm like, why? He has that one. Cody looks like Robin. What's going on here? I don't know. It's not my nose, so.
You know what, though? That is a really good visual representation of how the season has gone for them. It really is, because they've suffered some of the most injuries in the country.
Yeah.
Seven games without two starters, 17 without at least one starter. So yeah, it's quite apropos, Josh.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll take a time out. Come back. We're gonna go to Pittsburgh because Russ was introduced over the weekend in Pittsburgh. He talked about his time in Denver. He called us just a blip on his radar. You'll hear it from him next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
What up, Nelly? You ready to do another one, bro? Talk to him.
All right, we're talking a little bit of Broncos, and we're looking at Russ here. Russ was introduced over the weekend. That's really the only reason he's being brought up here today, because he mentioned us. So what did he have to say about Denver? Are you going to be offended with what he had to say about being in Denver? Well, first and foremost, Russell Wilson chatting about his time in Denver and everything that went into it, including that injury he had to deal with.
You know, in life, you know, a lot of times that when things don't go your way, you can look at it as disappointing, you can look at it as growth moments. And so for me, you know, my first year I had, you know, my lat, I was playing on it, pushing through it. You know, should I have done that? Well, you know, you compete every day. You know, you got to do what you got to do. And I think that everything didn't go our way the first year, this past year, I felt like myself again. I can't wait to just put on the cleats and go after it.
I don't know, actually. I was hoping you'd expand a little bit upon that. Matt, there's something in there that really drives me crazy, and it's not just with Russ. He just happened to do it right there. It's with all athletes and across all platforms of sports. If you took the jersey and you went out there and played, save your injury talk. I don't want to hear anything about it. You took the jersey, you went out there and played. You, by doing so, wrote off the injury. Therefore, me as the viewer, the analyst, whatever we are, I also write off the injury. So don't give me that nonsense 2 years later that you were dealing with an injury. You took the jersey, you took the field, you prioritized the playing more than your injury. And I get it, everybody has to play injured, but don't bring that nonsense up 2 years later.
It's not like we didn't know about it 2 years ago, though. We knew. I remember the play against Vegas where he screwed up his lat. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday, scrambling to the left side, kind of dives, lands on his right side, and he had the lat the rest of the year. Then he had to go get PRP shots for the lat. I remember. But, you know, look, this is his new place. He's trying to justify. Russ is a very prideful man.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to justify why he had a dip in his career. And as we all know, after 2 years, he's not somebody that likes to be critical or is actually willingly critical of himself, at least in a public forum. So it does not surprise me that he tried to justify the down year. And he kind of took the high road. He could have bashed Hackett. He could have bashed Peyton. Look, you know me. I think he's as disingenuous as the day is long. But that particular clip, I get where you're coming from. To me, I've been called like the school. I did a hit in Vegas before Russ signed with Pittsburgh, basically just telling everybody, no. But from Broncos country's perspective, yeah, you guys should do that, you know? The point was, is, look, he is who he is, you know? And he's got his last crack at it here. I also get from his perspective why it makes no sense to go down that. That is a can of worms he does not want to open because it will not look good for him. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy. I mean, I remember you showed up at the Fan. Did you ever do anything wrong at the last place you worked at? Maybe some stuff you were like, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you talk about it when you came here?
No.
Okay. So, you know, I
did
get
talk
it.
About helping them to get to you know, where they
blah,
are.
Blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Right. And yes, I get your point. The point I'm making is that we all like to try and gloss things a little bit, but it's easier to explain it away with an injury. And he did have it. It was legitimate, and we spoke about it at the time. He had to fly out to L.A., was it during the bye week, to get a couple PRP shots. I remember it well. So maybe that did affect him. I definitely don't think that was the reason that they struggled, though.
I mean, you give him, I'll give him 10% of that lat injury, and then 90% Nathaniel Hackett, right? Like that's the results. That's how it equaled what it equaled.
And I think your point is that the fans don't care.
They don't.
If you're suited up, you're good enough to play, and if you're too hurt, don't play. Mm-hmm. Like I also understand that perspective too. It's obviously it's Russ, dude. You know that's kind of where I'm at with it. It's Russ, man.
Yeah.
What more did you expect?
He also goes on to talk a little bit more about his time in Denver, but uses an interesting phrase.
If I were to look back at it all so far, you know, I've been on the winning side a lot of it. And some people haven't, some people have, you know, so you look at it and just you don't get so pinpoint on just one moment or one play or two plays or 2 years or whatever it is. You look at the whole grand scope of it all. And I think that when you paint in the picture of what your career looks like in the end, you know, hopefully you're able to paint the beautiful picture that you always imagined. And sometimes the best stuff, there's bumps and bruises along the way.
So it doesn't say it there.
God, but he was so close to saying, and sometimes you save your best for last. He could have said that, and it would have been great. The one thing that
he's got to, like, fight against the urge to say the cheesy stuff.
I don't know. If he would have thought of it, I think he probably would have said it. That's just Russ. The one thing that was a major jump, you know, the one play that went bad or the 2 years that... There's a big difference there. One play in 2 years. Look, he's, again, trying to justify. Russ cares about his image. He cares about his legacy. Mm-hmm. We know it well. And again, I'll go back to, he didn't bash Denver. Not one time.
Well, I will give you some pushback on that, because without bashing Denver, he basically just said in that, if I'm successful, it's him saying, I'm going to go be successful in Pittsburgh. You add that with my time in Seattle, then no one's going to remember how bad Denver was. That's how I took that.
Okay, but how is he bashing Denver?
Oh, just saying, okay, I guess not bashing, but of like...
I'm just saying he could do what Sean Payton did when Nathaniel Hackett left, had a couple of lattes, talked about the worst coaching job in NFL history, and Russ isn't that guy.
Okay, I guess I could look at it as...
Like Judy even talked about being wanted when he got to Cleveland.
Almost of a, it wasn't me, it was them kind of vibe.
That's what you got out of that?
Yeah.
I think you're reading into that a little
bit.
My opinion.
Okay.
My opinion. I mean, play it again.
All right, let's hear it. See what you hear if he takes a shot at the Broncos.
If I were to look back at it all so far, you know, I've been on the winning side a lot of it. And some people haven't, some people have, you know, so you look at it and just you don't get so pinpoint on just one moment or one play or two plays or 2 years or whatever it is. You look at the whole grand scope of it all, and I think that when you paint in the picture of what your career looks like in the end, you know, hopefully you're able to paint the beautiful picture that you always imagined. And sometimes the best stuff, there's bumps and bruises along the way.
So, see, he always says, like, you mentioned it, the play or two or the 2 years that he kind of, all right, is it a play or two or a two-year window?
Right, right.
But that's kind of what he's saying of, like, yeah, you can almost look over the 2 years because of what I've done on the front end and then now what I'm about to go do on the back end.
I think we all expected at some point Russ to take some sort of shot at Sean Payton.
You know what, dude? I'm not Russ guy at all. I would do it if I were him.
That's just not who he is. That's not who he is. You're not. That's the thing. It's like, you're not him. Russ is neutral above all else. There's one chance. There's one chance and one opportunity. He may do it if they come into Denver in this one moment.
Sorry, I had to. You said it.
Would you capture it? Would you just let it slip? There's one opportunity, I think, if it comes around, he might swing at that pitch. And that's if they beat Denver in Denver. Mm. In the post game, he may, you know, throw something in or, you know, it looks like. Because he did that when he made a play. Wasn't it against the Jags? He made a play going left. And he's like, oh, I guess I could still go left.
That's
after
right.
Pete Carroll was bashing him for, you know, just force Russ to the left because he can't go left. We might see that. But honestly, Russ knows. Again, I go back to, okay, well, if I pull at that thread, what else comes with it? Mm. So maybe he's just not going to do that, which I respect out of him because, A, he doesn't want to talk about it because he didn't play well. It wasn't a good time in his life. And, yes, if he wants a chance to make the Hall of Fame, he's going to have to do some more stuff in Pittsburgh, combine that with the stuff in Seattle. But I don't think it means he's necessarily bashing the Broncos. He already did that. He already called them liars and lied about them and talked about how, you know, it was illegal practices, what they were trying to do. He told us the sob story with Brandon Marshall. Just want to feel that chill, that trophy again. Two in the next five.
Mm-hmm.
We already got that from him. So for me, I think that was probably the extent of it. If they come in here and they beat Denver in Denver, maybe you get a shot, you know, a subtle rush shot. But that's not who he is.
Yeah, you're probably right.
He's just not a good quarterback either.
Yeah,
I'll throw the shots.
And actually, I'm not a good quarterback, but I'm willing to take shots at people 100% of the time. So I need a little bit of me, a little bit of Russ.
Is that unfair? I don't think it's unfair
either. No, not at all.
I don't think it's unfair.
Absolutely not. What did you make of it, Broncos country? Is he taking any shots, or is it just, hey, this is it now? He was introduced in Pittsburgh. He's officially a Steeler. Now our paths are going different ways, and we're completely done with Russ. Let us know, 303-713-1043. All right, a little bit of a slow night as far as the local teams go, but what are we watching? What are we looking for this evening? We'll tell you that coming up next. And I also want to chat about an opportunity that the Nuggets have to make history inside their own franchise. Details on what they can do coming up next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I'm about to sing it. She left a note, so I started drinking. Bartender,
final thoughts, questions, comments, concerns for Matt Smith and myself. Hit us up, 303-713-1043. It's the RamosLaw.com text line. We've been breaking it all down today. Big bracket show as they're out, they're set. The Buffs and Rams are both semi-dancing. They're on the doorstep dancing with playing in the play-in games coming up Tuesday and Wednesday. Nuggets continue to roll. They stay hot 11-2 since the All-Star break, and the Avs three road games in a row, and they're perfect. 6 points on the three road wins thanks to a huge goal and a beautiful play from Nathan MacKinnon. Real fast before we look at the schedule tonight, there's not a lot to look at, but I mentioned what the Nuggets can do.
Mm.
The Nuggets go 11-4, Matt. They would finish the season with 58 wins. That would eclipse the 57-win mark that was set back in 2012-2013. George Karl's squad, remember, that's the year they were a 3-seed. The world was introduced to the Warriors, who were a 6-seed at the time. They won 57 games that year. They only lost 3 games at Ball Arena, then Pepsi Center, all of that season. But Denver, with a strong 11-4 finish starting tomorrow in Minnesota, they could eclipse that mark and set a franchise record for wins in a regular season. Not something that you would chase, but a nice little stat to go along with them earning the number one seed, because if you go 11-4, you're probably earning the number one seed as well.
Indicative of just how dominant a team that they have become. And this is something, we had this conversation on my Sunday show, 7 to 10 a.m. every Sunday, but this is the changing of the guard officially in the NBA.
Okay.
LeBron can't win a title anymore unless he leaves L.A. and finds legitimate help, like a Giannis or an Embiid, or it's not going to happen. He's done winning titles. Sorry, Laker fan. I've watched way too much Laker basketball since the trade deadline. Let me tell you, that team isn't anything special. Doesn't matter. Add Kyrie to it, still doesn't matter, which I think they might try and do this summer, by the way. Golden State, time has come and gone. Mm-hmm. Steph needs to get out of there, if I'm being honest, or they need to get rid of Clay and Dre and start over with Steph. But Steve Kerr only signed a 2-year extension, which it kind of coincides with Steph's contract.
That's right.
So I think, you know, there's the talk of, well, maybe Steve goes to San Antonio and takes over for Pop when that runs out. So who knows? Point is I think there's a changing in the guard here, and it started really in the MVP race. Because if we're being honest, for all intents and purposes, this is the fourth straight year that Jokic has cemented himself as the best player in the world.
Agreed.
The one year he didn't win the MVP, he geared it down. We all watched him, but they still won the title, and he was the finals MVP. So, you know, there's a trade-off to be made there, Josh. But you're talking about legitimately 4 years where the Nuggets have had the best player in the world. And I think at this stage, he's just finding different ways to do it. But in the process, he's so consistent that he's putting more and more of a gap between him and number two. Because even if you were to ask the NBA casual who affects winning more than anybody else in the NBA, you probably are getting the answer at this stage, it's Nikola Jokic. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have gotten that last year. You wouldn't have got that the year before.
Definitely not.
Or the year before. But now the Nuggets have an undeniability factor that everybody knows, hey, it's the last 5 minutes. Doesn't matter if they're 13 down like they were to the Mavericks yesterday. Watch out.
They're the best defensive team in crunch time, the best offensive team in crunch time. Crunch time, again, is a game under 5 minutes within 5 points on the scoreboard, and they dominate on both sides of the floor. So, yeah, it is a...
It's not just Steph, and it's not just LeBron. It's KD, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is KD mailing it in? Have you seen what he's done lately with the Suns?
Dude, he's got 4 fourth-quarter points in the last 4 games.
I'm just saying. Financially, I was, you know, poking around KD yesterday, so I monitored what he finished with.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the rest of his games. Great. He's letting Grayson Allen shoot like 10. Now, Grayson Allen's shooting the ball at a ridiculous clip, so I understand it. But KD, maybe he's saving himself for the playoffs. Maybe that's what it is. Because to me, it doesn't seem like he's putting his best foot forward right now.
Well, and it's, I mean, what have they... Less than 30 games that the big three, whatever, in Phoenix, Devin, Kevin, and Bradley have played together, and they're 4 or 5 games over 500 in those games. It doesn't really feel right. It hasn't clicked yet all the way. And it couldn't be happening to a better person. I do not like Kevin Durant at all.
He's all right. He's all right. Yeah, Why not?
Because he's a coward.
Oh, okay.
You tuck tail and you go.
Okay.
I'll never get over that.
Okay. I just meant like as a person.
Oh, I don't know him as a person.
Okay. Yeah, I thought there was some personal vendetta.
No.
He's all right. He's all right. I mean, look.
Hell of a player.
The only thing I ever disliked about him was that he rejected the nickname the Slim Reaper. Mm-hmm. That is objectively one of the cooler nicknames in sports. And to have that given to you because you're such a stone cold killer, mm-hmm. and to say, you know what, I'm good with KD. Something's wrong with that.
Or like the Durantula, wasn't that a thing for a moment?
Yeah, but Slim Reaper was better than either one of them because that's who he is. So,
is there a Slim Reaper now?
No. Well, maybe I'll tell you.
Oh, Victor?
At 20 years old, Victor Wembanyama's starting to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what his ceiling would be, and I still don't know. But last night, 33, 16, 7 assists and 7 blocks. Okay, it was against the Brooklyn Nets, and that's for the most part a G League team, essentially, and they have no size. But he's getting more fluid. He's becoming smoother with the basketball. His shot selection is better. Give him a couple of years. When that kid's 25, he might run the league.
Dude, and it's also watching that team. I haven't watched a ton of Spurs because I don't like Popovich and it's bad basketball. I don't got time for bad stuff in my life. two plays particularly. One, against the Nuggets second quarter, he cut backside of the paint and no one saw him. And it was actually Aaron Gordon sent at the free throw line extended, didn't see him. And Victor's doing the, throw me the lob, throw me the lob. Didn't even look at him. And then another possession.
Yeah, you just throw it up there, dude.
And he's going to go get it.
Yeah.
Another possession was late in the second half and he's standing in the corner. I know he's not the best three-point shooter as of today, but he's still standing in the corner. You got to close out. He shot fakes a step and a half and he's at the rim. And again, they didn't even show interest in moving the ball to that side. So there's a lot going on there. He's got to figure it out. But the talent, the raw, it's definitely there. He's going to be a problem. And you also mentioned Steve Kerr. That would be so Steve Kerr, Matt, to leave the Warriors and then go land in San Antonio when Victor's starting to fully spread his wings. Steve Kerr he's got to be one of the most overrated coaches of all time, doesn't he? You could coach the Warriors to 73 wins.
I'm not going to go there.
Kisner could coach the Warriors to 4 championships.
You and your personal vendettas against Steve Kerr. Look, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of Steve Kerr, the coach. I was a fan of Steve Kerr, the player, but not a fan of Steve Kerr, the coach. To take it back to Wemby, don't you remember at the beginning of the year, because this is technically Chet Holmgren's rookie year, right, mm-hmm. with the Oklahoma City Thunder? Mm-hmm. Well, I remember we talked about, well, Chet's got to have the leg up in the rookie of the year conversation, right, because he's already played some NBA games, and here's Victor Wemby. Well, not even close now. I mean, it's Wemby, and then Chet Holmgren's like on another level.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we're in for a special talent there. I thought it was interesting, though. Did you see over the weekend that the NBA has made rules changes and didn't really tell anybody about it? I found this fascinating.
So scoring's been down, and the NBA world was kind of wondering why, what was going on with that. And it turns out there is some changes inside the way calls are being made. Referees are calling games and not necessarily giving that preferential treatment.
Well, what it is they're not going to reward players for basically embellishing and hunting fouls.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like James Harden, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, LeBron, you go through down the list of players who, you know, whenever they even get touched, they're throwing their hands up in the air. And if you're a Nuggets fan, you probably haven't noticed that teams, by and large, aren't shooting as many free throws because the Nuggets never get any calls anyway. But this season in November, the average free throw attempts per game, 23.2. In December, 23.1. In January, 22.8. February, 20.5. Went down almost 3. And then in March, the average free throw shot per game in the NBA, 19.8. The fewest in a month since 1950-51.
Wow. 50-51. That, I know it's all about scoring, and 120 points on the board looks really, really nice. This is the NBA that I would prefer. Don't reward hunting for calls. That's a big problem. Like, how many times you see a guy go to the rack, and there's some Nuggets players that have been guilty of it too, because it's the lay of the land. Instead of just two hands on the basketball, finish strong at the rack to get the two, and then maybe a bonus of one, they go soft at the rim to expand on what the contact is supposed to look like, or exaggerate on what the contact is supposed to look like, and then don't get close to the two, have to go to the free throw line to chase the two. Just finish strong at the rim and let the foul be icing on the cake.
Well, you're talking about playing for the finish or playing for the foul.
Uh-huh.
And the NBA, by and large, has been rewarding players with playing for the foul for so long, it's become commonplace. And at the beginning of the year, scoring was out of hand. I mean, I was seeing totals and over-unders at like 250 and 240, and you never used to see that. Well, now it's down. And I had somebody yesterday, I brought that up, and somebody said, well, explain to me how scoring is down so much. Because I don't know if you saw the Knicks and the Pacers, what was it, a week ago on Sunday? There were like 5 minutes left in the fourth, and it's a 74-72 game.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what year is it?
Mm-hmm.
The odd part to me is, how do you feel about them making that rule swap without telling teams and doing it mid-year? It's more the basketball that I want to see, to your point.
Yeah, but if I'm the league, I would stand on... Like, no, just play the game. We made a mistake. We're correcting our mistake.
That's been going on for years and years, to make a midseason rules change. I just think it's a little goofy. I'm not against it, per se, because I think it got out of hand, but it sure has addressed it, and it addressed it really fast. I'm surprised, Josh. I mean, to have this type of... Look at the Nuggets game yesterday. It was 107-105. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dallas and the Nuggets play games in the 120s all the time.
I mean, the Nuggets had, what, three consecutive unders of 100? With their opponents?
Just saying. It's a significant change.
Yeah, I don't know that...
They're basically calling it like they'd call it in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing that in the regular season. And again, I go back to, if you're a Jokic fan or a Nuggets fan, it's going to look the darn same. They're still not going to get the calls. Just hopefully the other teams aren't getting the calls either.
I could probably see how you're coming along of like, hey, we're focused on the playoffs and you're making this change, but
right.
I could look at the NFL, how they do... points of emphasis.
Oh, sure.
Or whatever.
Like rules changes.
Rules
yeah.
change. And it's like, for the first 4 weeks, our points of emphasis are on X, Y, and Z.
Right. No roughing the passer.
Right. And then 5, 6, 7, it seems like they're a lot more lenient on that points of emphasis that they were making earlier.
Right. Like in weeks 5, 6, and 7, the points of emphasis are KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Oh, nice. I didn't know you were going to do it. I was going to actually let you stop talking and then do it. That was nice work.
Style points.
Smith. That's good.
Always
That's really
it.
Good. Oh, that was nice.
I hunted that one down, just like players.
That's right.
For fouls.
You were chasing the legal ID, just like James Harden chases free throws. All right, so yeah, tonight, like I said, it's kind of a slow evening. You do have 8 games in the NBA, doubleheader on ESPN, just 2 games in the NHL, and then tomorrow it's the triple threat with Nuggets, Abs, and Rams.
What do you do on a slow night?
What do I do? You know, and tonight I have some dinner plans with some family.
Oh,
but
nice.
We'll do that, and then I'll wait for you to text me what shows I should be watching, because I'm fresh out of shows. What do?
Basically.
Watch the shows?
Yeah, watch some shows. The one or two nights, maybe, you know, every other week, that you get to just not have to dial into sports always. I'll watch some shows. I just wrapped up Masters of the Air on Apple. I thought that was really good.
Okay.
World War II show. Not one for... You and the lady.
Yeah.
But I got a couple others I'll send you for sure.
Perfect.
I do want to see The Gentleman is out on Netflix. I think that's kind of like a spinoff of the movie. And then there was one other that... Manhunt on Apple TV. John Wilkes Booth, Abe Lincoln, that whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, interesting. So give him a shot.
There was a kick-ass video game called Manhunt back in the 90s. Maybe
I remember
2000s.
I remember that.
Hide behind corners.
Sure.
People.
Yeah, it's mostly shows, though.
Okay.
It's mostly shows. I would say good ones to watch. It depends. What are you guys, comedy or drama? Like, some people will not do comedies and some people will not do dramas.
Yeah, we're a healthy mix of both, but probably more comedy.
More dramedies? Okay. All right. Well, that gives me a good starting point.
Okay.
Maybe even tomorrow I'll give you a list.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. We will have some fun tomorrow, too, with some Denver sports moments. We're going to create our own little brackets and rally that through the rest of the season. You know, we didn't get into today, and we will a bit more tomorrow since you're coming back with us, is Dion and his book tour. Is it over? Does he still have some stops to make, or is he back in Boulder getting ready for spring football?
I'll ask him on Wednesday. Spring football did start today for the Buffs.
Okay.
Spring football is underway. Today was day one. I get to speak to Dion again on Wednesday.
Nice.
Sure, he's going to be thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, he didn't want to talk to local media all offseason. He would not, actually. It was only national guys and YouTube content creators.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He pulled a Sean Payton on us. No local,
mm-hmm.
national only.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here, you hacks.
So over the last week, he's spoken to Kelly Clarkson and Gail King and Nate Burleson and Jimmy Fallon and and all these other places that he's interviewed, Michael Strahan, and now he gets to talk to us scrubs here in the local.
That's area. Right.
Yeah.
Sorry that you got to deal
sorry
with
Sorry you got to slum it with us here in Boulder.
Sorry you got to deal with Matt Smith, Dion.
Yeah, I am sorry about that. I wouldn't want to do that.
Real quick text as I was ripping on Popovich and Kerr. Says Dover has a lot of opinions without backing it up. This is what they wrote. Craig Popovich is a philanthropist. Steve Kerr is another great man. They might be great men.
He was just telling you personally he doesn't like him.
Right. And I think that Steve Kerr, any Yahoo that has a pulse, could have coached the Warriors the way that Steve Kerr has. What's the system? Set a screen for Steph and then chuck that thing up and let Draymond rebound it? I could have drawn that up.
I think the problem is sometimes you make those statements without prefacing them before with, you know, in my opinion, or at least I'm not a big fan of the guy. And you're just like, no, Steve Kerr's the absolute worst. That's a fact.
If it's my opinion, I'm going to treat it as fact.
I appreciate that. I do. It's good to be convicted. There's no question about it.
And we're always having fun with you guys on the text line, even if sometimes you guys could be jerks. But it's fun. It's all in good fun. Zach Byam, Philip Lindsay sitting in here. We were chatting about Prime's book tour. That's another conversation I want to have because, Zach, I had never heard your Dion might walk away after this year once his kids are done take. And I heard you mention that on Friday, and I was like, man, that's something I had never quite thought about yet.
You haven't thought about that one yet?
I
feel like that's pretty common.
I would put the odds at like minus 400, minus 500.
That's crazy.
Just because, and I've said this to Phil a lot over the last 6-7 months, we literally cannot find an example of Dion coaching a football team where his sons weren't a part of it. So the next time in his 60s will literally be the first time. And I think he's going to follow his son around and be at games. And I think coaching coaching kids that aren't his while his son specifically, Shador, is playing quarterback, I just don't think you're going to see it. I just don't.
Mm-mm-mm. You know, Zach can be, you know, dramatic.
Crazy at times.
You know, the end of the world.
See, I didn't say end of the world.
I think that Prime will at least go for another year. Right after his kids are gone, I think he got at least one more year. I think he's going to be there as long as Rick is there. I don't know when Rick's contract's up with George, the AD. Mm. Once Rick leaves, I think that's when Coach Prime's going to be gone. That's just me, you know, looking at the picture from the outside.
What if, to your question, if you think the same, what if there's success this year, real success?
Yeah, and that's the one caveat I did build in. Could he get addicted to the Power 5 success and the stuff that comes along with it? And we didn't talk about that until this past week. Yeah. But if they have success, could he be like, this is fun? And they do have, and Matt would know better than me, but they had a couple commitments from quarterbacks that will be in the fold that were like 4-star kids, I think. So maybe he's like, can use his imagination of like, this is really fun. We're going to be good. I'll come back. But again, I will believe it when I see it.
But I would push back because I think it's I get what you're saying 100%. Coaching your kids is awesome. Dion's got the best. He told Jimmy Fallon, I don't have bad days, right? But man, I think there's so much to like, sure, he loves coaching his kids, but you know what I think he might love even more? Being the star of the show. And he's always going to be the star of the show. If he's the coach of Colorado, you're making your rounds on NBC, you're writing your book and then doing your book tour on NBC. Like, that doesn't go away just because Shador's not around.
No, I know, but he can get that on the NFL sideline. He can turn into a combination of who he already is and LeVar Ball. Like, if his son's playing quarterback in the league, like I could only imagine Dion and the camera flashing to him on Sundays. And guess what? Anytime he wants to be the star in Boulder, he could just show back up. You know, I'm not married to the take, but I kind of am. Yeah. I don't believe that Coach Prime will coach a down of CU football. I think he's loyal to himself and those closest to around him and not, you know, Boulder. I think, but it's been a symbiotic relationship. Both of these parties, I think, kind of needed each other, you know, and so I think it's been great for Boulder. They've had a 2-year commercial, basically. I think everyone has benefited from it, but that's just me.
Okay. We're going to have to get a little, me and you are going to talk.
Oh, yeah.
Matt, about you, man? I know that you're upset that you're not over there at the first practice.
I was okay with missing the first day.
Today this first day?
Yeah. First day of spring ball.
Okay.
We talked to Dion for the first time on Wednesday.
Okay. So,
and Pat Shermer, who's now the full-time OC. And Robert Livingston, who's now the full-time DC. The one thing I'll say about
Zach's response was appropriate.
Zach's opinion is shared by a lot of people that behind the scenes, we're waiting to see it before we believe it about him being here past his kids.
What do you think?
As far as I understand it, there has been a long-term contract that has been put in front of him that he will not sign. So I think there is some validity, a lot of it, to what Zach is saying. And to your point, this is a guy who's impatient. He wants to win now. You talked about commits. It's just visits from other, like, top quarterbacks. They haven't gotten any quarterback commits yet.
Yeah.
Do you really think he's going to the 5-star freshman well? I don't think so. If he goes anywhere, it's going to be the portal with a guy who can win right away. Yep. So if he stays, but maybe, he's also not going to have much to do. I mean, he's got all this money. He's got all these properties. He's now single again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe he goes back and starts.
As he announced a breakup on social media. Maybe that was interesting.
Yeah, the first time a head coach breakup.
Did you bang out that post between chemistry and lunch? Like,
Prime will be on Bachelor.
He's 60 years old.
Prime will be on Bachelor.
Oh, the Golden Bachelor.
Yes.
Or whatever it is.
Oh, my gosh.
James is the star, dude.
Yes. Dude.
That would break every ratings record. Yeah, that would be
it
amazing.
Would. Gosh.
It would be amazing.
She's gonna be like, I really like you, Bull Junk. Give me that rose back.
I don't know. I heard Prime with Shannon and Ocho on Nightcap talking about their dating methods. I'm good on his. I don't need to know anything more about Code Prime's dating life. That's all personal.
Yeah. Oh
Rock
my gosh.
On, man. Rock on.
Oh my gosh. So we have so much to get to. Before you guys get out of here. I want to get your thought on March Madness real quick. Do you consider CU and CSU tournament teams?
I consider them, the phrase we were talking about today, they're on the doorstep of being dancers. Like, they're there.
They're dancing on their own.
They're not really there. Yeah, they kind of are dancing on their own.
Isn't that Madonna dancing on my own? Something like that. It's a play-in game. That's what it is. I mean, I had somebody get mad at me on the text line yesterday during our show when I called the first four the play-in. They're like, no, it's a legitimate tournament berth. I'm like,
okay. Yeah, they rebranded it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's the play-in. Let's be real. The only thing that I would have loved to see from the committee is them throw convention out the window and just put CU and CSU playing each other, the first four.
Oh,
that would have been so much fun. They're both in
Dayton.
I hadn't really thought about that. That's a great idea. That would have been, hey, if you're building a TV show, which is why you're doing this, the play-in, and have them play each other. But here's what I'll say is that I think for the programs themselves, I think CU and CSU are in a better position playing in the play-in game than they would be lost in the shuffle because here's why I say so. Because everyone is so anxious for the tournament to get started. That game tomorrow night and Wednesday night is going to do numbers.
Yeah.
It's going to do a way better individual rating than almost anything that you'll watch actually on Thursday. So the schools get a commercial, you're in the limelight, and you have a chance to win, quote unquote, a tournament game. I think it's actually good for both schools. Ultimately, I agree with you. I look at it the old school way, but it won't feel like a playing game. And I've called those games for ESPN and Fox Sports affiliate upstate New York. You're there, and I was in Dayton, dude. It is a 10 out of 10 atmosphere. The world will be watching it, so I love it. I think it's great for both schools.
I actually we talked about who got maybe the worst the shorter end of the straw there of CSU or CU and what CSU was early in the season. I actually think the Buffs kind of got screwed more than the Rams did. The Rams were really good the first half of the season. That team disappeared and never really returned to form. The Buffaloes, I mean, the last nine games, Matt, we talked about with the loss at Oregon, they were a damn good basketball team, kind of firing on all cylinders. I think they deserved a bit more love.
I was kind of underwhelmed when they played Washington State. When they end up winning that one by how many points? 2 points,
six.
Three?
Oh, the win against Washington State? 58-52. They won by six.
Yeah. To me, I was expecting more explosiveness, more power out of the team, and I didn't get that. And then, of course, they got beat by Oregon. I think that where they are right now, I don't think they got the poop into the stick. I think that they weren't doing well at the beginning of the year. They caught fire. But they kind of are where they are. If they would have started hot, we wouldn't have been in this situation that we are.
Kind of mirror opposite CU and CSU of their seasonal arc.
So massive. Yeah.
I said ships in the night. If you put it the seasons on graphs, they both start out well, then CSU keeps going up, CU goes down, and then eventually they swap, right?
At one point in time, CSU, Colorado State, was ranked 13th in the country.
And we thought they could get up into the top 10.
Don't tell people that.
They were, and I forget who it was, but it was like they were like giving their top four teams in the country.
It was Doug Gottlieb.
Yes, it was Doug Gottlieb who was like, Colorado State's the fourth best team in the country. Yep. I was like, wait, is David Roddy still there? They fell off, and then CU picked up steam. Depending on how you look at it.
I thought it was an appropriate seeding for both teams, considering the seasons that they both had.
Yeah.
And as Nico Medved told the team after that got announced yesterday, somebody seems to make a run from these play-in games every year. UCLA did it. Down to the Final Four.
Correct.
So I'm not predicting that to happen. It'd be great if they both made it to the round of 64. That would be fantastic. Do I think it's going to happen? We'll see. I mean, playing Virginia in that Tony Bennett defense, that's like a day at the dentist, man.
I was going to say, man, this idea, hey, they're not what they used to be. No. Just pack a lunch and
like
bring a hard hat.
15 to 35.
Bring everything you got.
Yes.
And then Boise State last year actually played CU, and most of those Boise kids are returning on this team, and they were physical, and they beat them up at the beginning of last year. It's going to be a tough game for both schools.
No doubt about it. I can't wait. This is one of my favorite times of the year because the NHL and NBA are on the back half sprint of their schedules. The back half is relevant to both. We got March Madness. We got both schools in the tournament. We got both CU schools in the tournament for the first time in over 10
Let's
years.
Go!
I mean, shoot, we even got some Rockies news tucked in there in a small little footprint. They bring the font down to like a 6.
Shout out UNC shout out UNC Greeley in the CBI, too.
Hey, okay, there we go.
There you go. Shoot, don't leave them out. The Greeley Bears, right? They're the Bears.
CBI.
Wait, real quick. If we're going to shout out the CBI, my rec league lost the 40 and
over get out of here, your rec
league. You want to talk about the CBI? It's the same thing.
Directly? The disrespect.
Zach
knows.
That rec league life, man. God almighty. All right. We'll get back to the NCAA tournament because I got a bunch of notes on both schools and kind of catch you up, even if you didn't watch a second of either school, and what you need to know before a tip-off here in the next, 24 hours or so. But the question that we begin with, are the Broncos playing checkers while we watch another play chess? That's where we'll start, coming up next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.